Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Now, as I said, I have a word from the Lord for you tonight. I'll give you the subject in just a moment, but what I'm going to be sharing is basically this: understanding the impact of faith when used properly. The impact of faith when used properly. We have to learn to use our faith properly. And God has shown us how faith comes. And Romans 10:17, whenever you're teaching on faith, it's a good place to start, even though you know almost anybody that's been in the Bible for more than 2 days can quote Romans 10:17. But we need to read it tonight because I want to show you some things before I shift gears on faith. Don't assume that we're going down the same road tonight because we're not, okay? How many know that the Holy Spirit has many roads to take us down? We have not exhausted the subject of faith, nor will we ever, because there are levels of faith, and faith keeps climbing to the level of God. And so Romans 10:17 tells us how faith comes. You want to read it? It says, so then faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing the word of the Lord. Let's read it together. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of the Lord, or the word of God. Never be ashamed to tell somebody how faith comes. Never be ashamed to tell them that faith can only come one way, and that's through the word of God. The word of God brings faith. So if you come in here with nothing else but just listening to the word of God, it's by its very nature going to produce faith. When we read the scripture, when we preach and we teach the word of God, it's going to produce faith. Now, the word of God is full of faith. Amen. I know these are familiar scriptures here, but let's turn over to Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. I really am and really was seeking this message for you, because I want to see God bless you so much in your life. It's real easy to say what God is doing for me or what God is doing through somebody else, but you need to have your own testimony of what God is doing in your life. And God wants to do for you maybe even greater than what He does for me. And I'll tell you, He does great things for me. I could never give the Lord, stand up here and give Him enough thanks. I could never rejoice enough in God of all the things that He has brought me through, all the blessings that He has given to my life. And so I never want to brag about myself, but I always brag on God. I always brag on the Lord because it is God. And I'm going to tell you something. God is not a respecter of persons, is He? And He says in Mark 11:22, what does it say? Answered, let's read it. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Say it with me. Say, have faith in God. Say it again. Have faith in God. Now think about that just a moment. Have faith in who? Have faith in God. Not faith in man. Not faith in a vision. Not faith in circumstances, but faith in God. Have faith in God. Now remember that. Again, this seems like very elementary probably to some of you, because a lot of you have heard many times ministry on faith. And whenever you start out teaching faith, the best place to go is Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Jesus spoke to His disciples right after He cursed the fig tree. And He said, have faith in God. So let me go one other place here with you. And it may seem like this is a little bit off of the track, but it's not. Go to the book of James. So Two things about faith we need to know is, number one, that it comes by hearing the Word of God. And number two, we're told to have the faith of God. James chapter 1 and verse 5. Now, we're talking here about our faith being contested. James, right in the middle of teaching about faith, and he's telling us here that our faith will be contested. In other words, there will be a trial or a trying of our faith. Now, there's going to always be opposition. I don't know that there'll be very much, let me put it this way, I don't know that you'll experience a lot of layoff or the devil going on vacation on your behalf. It seems like that he is constantly after us and to bombard us, and when he finds out that we're hurting or that he's got us kind of headed downhill, then he's pushing even harder. This is how we know that our faith is being tried, is when the enemy is trying everything he's got in his arsenal to take that joy, take that peace, rob us of whatever blessing that God is attempting to get to us. Now, we've got to outsmart the devil, amen? I said we've got to outsmart him. And so look what it says here. It says, if any of you lack, I'm in verse 5 of James chapter 1, but notice he didn't say, if any of you lack faith. See how he just shifts right here in the middle of faith teaching. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So faith needs assistance. Faith, just raw faith, just having the scripture is not enough. Faith needs assistance. It needs things like wisdom. In fact, I guess maybe some of y'all are new. I need to probably read this one too before I can really take off of what I want to talk to you about. Go to 1 Peter, or 2 Peter rather, and remember it talks about adding some things to our faith. Let me read these again right quick for you, because the Bible is full of what we call spiritual forces, or things that assist our faith. Now, we should know in here that faith is important, because without it, what? We cannot please God. Amen? And we know that without faith, we're going to falter. We're gonna get in the fire, and we're not gonna know how to resist, and we're gonna get burnt. So we know that there's going to be opposition. So he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask, because now we're looking for something to assist our faith. When we talk about assisting our faith, we're talking about spiritual things or spiritual forces that we add to our faith, so that our faith can be at a now listen to this, not just a place of where we've heard the Word of God, but in demonstration of power. What we are looking for is demonstration, manifestation. I asked a while ago, how many of you had a manifestation, demonstration of finances? You see, we're looking for the manifestation of what we're believing God for. Are you with me? Now, in order for our faith to work, the Bible teaches us that there's things that we add to our faith. We don't add to the Word, we add to our faith. These are faith, what I call faith assistants. They assist our faith so that our faith can be strong, so that we can have faith in God. He says in verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, but for this very reason, giving all diligence. Now there's about six of these here. Look at them real close. Actually, there's seven of them.
Seven's the number of God. It says, add to your faith virtue. Everybody see that? To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Now, I don't want to go through and teach on all these things, but so you can understand how these things assist, I'll just briefly mention what they are. When it talks about virtue, it's talking about moral excellence. It's talking about having the character of God. Your faith is not going to work if there's not a pattern of moral excellence in your life. But not only do you got to add virtue, it says you've got to add knowledge. Now we're talking about practical intelligence. We're talking about practical knowledge because there's knowledge that comes from God. But how many know we still need some common sense to know that when we're in the midst of a problem, we need to have enough sense to seek the Lord. We need to have that practical, everyday knowledge to know how to handle certain things that come up. If I don't know what to do, I can call on wisdom. Amen. I can call on the Lord and He will give me wisdom. And then the next one is temperance. That's the King James Version. The New King James is self-control. But, you know, we have to master the control of our own body, of our own flesh. Because if we don't take control of the flesh, how many know it'll get out of bounds on us? It'll get out of the limits on us. It'll do things like it used to do when it was still in the world. Are you listening to me? And then he says, add to your temperance or your self-control. He said, add patience. Now, patience is perseverance, and listen, this is not talking about passive, this is talking about active. We don't just sit back as Christians and let the devil just rake us over the coal. We don't just let him keep pressing in on us. See, a person of faith rises up and begins to figure out how to stand against the devil. Because if you just sit in a place long enough, and you sit there and let him squash you, he'll squash you like a bug. Are you with me? So there has to be an understanding that when the trials come, we're going to learn how to take the trials on. Amen? We're going to be on the offensive, not on the defensive. And then we add to our patience. And all these, I've taught hours on all these things, but I'm just kind of letting you know what these assistants are to our faith. And the next one is we got to add to our patience, we got to add godliness. God is living like God, a godly person. It's the way that life should be lived. The Bible teaches us how to live godly. Now, we don't know how to live godly until we look at God, until we look at the Word of God. So we have to seek God to see what God is like. And then that's the way we're supposed to live our life. Amen? We're not to live our life and pattern our life after the world or somebody, you know, a sports hero or you know, some movie star or somebody like that. That's not who we pattern our life after, okay? Our life is to be patterned after God, and that's called godliness. And then he says, add to your godliness, he says, add brotherly kindness. Well, brotherly kindness, now, this is a form of love that we have for one another. This is like brother and sister love. This is the love that, you know, I'll accept you the way you are and I'll do everything in my power. Everything that's in my hand to do, I'll help you do it. There has to be that kind of love that we call brotherly love, okay? And then the ultimate love, the very final one there, is the love of God or agape, which means that I love you no matter what. I love you like God loves you. And how many know that God loves us sometime when we're, you know, unconditionally, when we're not lovable and so on and so forth. So these are what I call these assistants to faith. And we have to come back and center in again on Romans 10:17. Let's go back and look at it one more time. I know you know it, but let's go back and look at it again one more time. Turn to Romans 10:17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing. Come on, say it with me. So then faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing. Okay. Now, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now we'll kind of shift gears here and I'll get into what I want to share with you tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Somebody say praise the Lord. Okay. Now let me give you the subject
of what I'm sharing with you tonight, I believe what God has put in my heart to share. I want to call it advancing our faith in the power of God. Advancing our faith in the power of God. Now, when I say advancing, I'm talking about not letting yourself stay still. A lot of Christians, they think that, okay, they come into a church, they receive Jesus into their heart, and that's all there is. But God has never called us just to stagnate, just to stand still. Are you here? So our faith needs to not only be active, but it needs to be progressing. That's what it means to advance. In fact, the Lord is telling us to go forward in our faith. Our faith is not only supposed to have a demonstration. Now listen to these things. Not only supposed to have a demonstration, but it's supposed to go into greater dimension. In other words, you are to go farther than you have been. You go farther. That's what it means to advance. You go deeper in God. It means that these things, that when they're applied, assist your faith to progress. If you don't learn how to walk in the wisdom of God and in the knowledge of God, you're not going to advance. If you're lacking these things, now I could keep on reading. Remember in 2 Peter there chapter 1, it says if you do these things, and I should have read it for you, it says if we do these things, add these things to our faith, it says we shall never fail. So when I talk about advancing our faith, we're talking about promoting. In fact, let me just give you these definitions. Promoting our faith. Advance means to promote in rank. We're talking about advancing our faith in the power of God. Promoting our faith to bring us to another rank. In military terms, you know, a sergeant is higher rank than a private. Okay? Our captain is higher rank than a sergeant. So God is wanting our faith always to be not just in demonstration, but dimensional. In other words, there is no limit or there is no exhausting the things of God, because now you're talking about God again. And in Him, there is no limit, remember? Advance, now listen to this one. Advance means to raise the rate of your faith. Again, when I talk about raise the rate, I'm talking about the value that you place upon your faith. You have to see how important your faith is in your walk with God. Because if I don't place a very high value on my faith, then I'm not going to be as apt to come and receive the Word of God, the very thing that is going to cause more faith to come. Are you following what I'm saying? In other words, I've got to see the value of what faith does in my life and what it will do in my life. It will take me to the place of demonstration, but I want to get even beyond demonstration into a dimension where I can see what God wants me to see. And I can, because faith always shows us the end. And if we can't see the end, sometimes we get sidetracked while we're on the trail. Sometimes we allow the enemy to hoodwink us or to blind us because we don't have our eye on the end of what God has said that we can do and what He says we can have. So, if we're going to advance in the power of God, we've got to see the value that's placed on our faith. And then here's this other one. Dare to believe and to act. Another quality of the deeper understanding of faith is becoming more aggressive in our faith. Not just setting back and letting whatever will be, will be. Not just letting the enemy take and do his number on you and let him steal from you. You got to put your foot down on the devil's head.
Amen? So, the Lord wants to show us through this teaching and through things I'm going to share with you, things that we haven't seen before in faith. We have an exhausted faith. Especially in a faith church where we're teaching a lot on faith. But listen, we haven't even begun to tap in of the dimension of faith. So we need to see these things. Now, let me give you four words to write down here that you need to grab a hold of tonight and put these in your spirit. Okay? I'm giving you a lot of things. Now, you should bring your Bible and you should bring a pad and a pencil because I'm giving you some nuggets. I'm giving you some things that out of seeking the Lord has given to me to help you. I am here to help you in the Lord, okay? I don't want to see a one of you fall or succumb to the enemy. I really don't want to see you come to church sad. I really don't want to see you, you know, without joy and without peace in your life because that's not the intention of God. God wants you to have the best. All right. The first word is confidence. Now, these words are kind of interchangeable and some of them are synonymous. But confidence, because in this new dimension of faith, you're going to have confidence. Now, we're going to find out that confidence is not in ourselves, but in God. Now, we need self-confidence, but how many know we need to have absolute confidence in God? The next word is assurance. You have got to be assured. If you find it in the word, assurance is just another word for insurance, that what God has said in his word, he will do. He will back his word. And the other word I want you to get in your spirit tonight is this word boldness. Say boldness. See, if you really get to operating in the level of faith that we're talking about, getting beyond Romans 10:17 faith, because most Christians have a very shallow understanding of faith. Most who come to church have Romans 10:17 type faith, that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But they have no spiritual dimension of faith. They never move into that dimension of faith to let faith come even beyond the word, but through demonstration. Remember those two words, demonstration and dimension. Because we're going to see some demonstrations of faith. And Paul is going to bring these things out in our life. But I'm saying this to you, that when you begin to step out in boldness, you're going to be misunderstood by those who are shallow in faith. They're going to probably even, sometimes, they're going to laugh at you. Remember I told you that the message I give you over the last 2 weeks, those were messages for those that are allowing their faith to rise. When you make an affirmation, like money cometh easily and frequently. Remember, if you go around spouting that to somebody that's shallow in faith, they're going to laugh at you and ask you what you're saying that for. They're not going to understand these dimensions of faith that God has really called us to move into. And so that's why we've got to have boldness so that when something is opposing our faith, we're bold enough to go ahead and believe what God has spoken to us. Amen. And we're going to see the blessing of God, and we will have the last laugh. Hey, amen. Every time, you know, money is placed into my hand, I not only give God thanks, but I laugh at the devil. You know why? Because I never get to the place where I'm not amazed at God. I never want to just take God for granted. I want to always be in a place where I'm giving God thanks, giving God credit for everything he does in my life, but at the same time, just pointing my old bony finger at the devil and saying, you're still a liar, devil. You're still a liar. God's word is still true. You see, you've got to be bold like that. Now, I'm bold up here teaching you these things, but, you know, you got to know when to confess those things, when to make the affirmation of those things, because people who have a shallow understanding of faith, is not going to comprehend these things. But the Bible teaches you and I that we're supposed to go from what? Faith to faith. Say it with me. Say, from faith to faith. We get faith when we're saved. We get faith when we come into church. But we're supposed to go from faith to faith. From glory to glory. And from victory to victory. Amen? And we know that without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please God. But those who come to God must believe that He is, remember, and that He is a rewarder. He is a compensator. The law of compensation kicks in my life because I'm seeking God. And because I seek God, there's no lack. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? Oh, I'll give you the last word here. Courage. Remember as Joshua took over the reins from Moses, what did the Lord keep telling Joshua? He said, be of what? Courage. Be of courage. Be of courage. Don't have any fear. Don't fear what man can do to you. We need courage. It's what God kept telling Joshua. Confidence, assurance, boldness, and courage. These things are faith assistance. They will assist your faith where you can move out in a newer dimension of faith. We're talking about advancing our faith in the power of God. Now let me show you this in the scripture. Are y'all here? Okay. See, it's a different aspect of building our faith. We're going down another little trail. Really, I haven't taught it in this. I don't think I've taught it in this fashion. Where it's not just, you know, coming from what we hear, but it's coming through a demonstration. Now let's see what Paul said here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He said, in my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in what? In what? Say demonstration. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Every time you receive an answer, every time faith manifests in a demonstration, you're showing the power of God. You're showing the power of God, that God's Word works in your life, but you're also being a witness that it works. Amen. And it says in verse 5, and your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. Hello? And your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but what? In the power of God. Now, I believe the Lord is showing us some things here. And I believe God is taking us here to another level. This church, you know, He didn't call us just to stay in Romans 10:17 faith. He didn't call us just to stay with Hebrews 11:1. Those are great faith scriptures. So here's some more things for you. We know that the Word of God produces faith. I mean, that's just a natural byproduct of something spiritual that happens when the Word of God is going forth. But let me give you some more things here. He is saying that your faith should not be in your teacher. My faith should not be in man. We need counsel, and we need agreements, and we need impartation. But he's telling us that we are not to put our trust in man. He told the disciples again, have faith in God. Why? Because if we get our faith or our trust in something else, how many know something else is always going to let us down? Something is always going to go awry, even if it's unintentionally. But God will never go awry. Hallelujah. Faith, now listen to this. Faith is a demonstration of confidence in God. Remember those words? Not confidence in ourselves. Faith is a demonstration of confidence in God, not confidence in self or confidence in man. Because we have to come back and see what can, when we're operating in faith, listen, a lot of things can happen. A lot of things can happen. Now, Faith does not fail, but we can have failures in our faith. I'll explain that in a minute. Faith, listen to this. Faith, when you have something you want to deal with and you're believing God. Any of you ever believe in God for something? Maybe it's for your family. Maybe it's for your children. Listen to this. Faith must maintain the quest that it is an expression of confidence in God. It always must maintain that confidence because you're moving in a realm now of demonstration. You're believing for a manifestation of what you're believing for. But you have to come back to the place where the quest is my confidence is in God, because, you know, man may not be able to do this for me. My government may not be able to do this for me. My own education may not be able to do this for me. My own natural ability may not be able to do this for me. So our quest, our focus has always got to be having confidence in God. My thing in this is to find out where God declares it. He's looking for people who are ready for faith demonstrations. If we're going to advance in the power of God, we've got to be people looking for faith demonstrations. Not in the power of men, but in the power of God. We're advancing, we're progressing in our faith, in our walk with God. Lazy faith, say lazy faith, does not go any further than the rest go. Lazy faith does not go any further than the rest go. Lazy faith just says, well, this is enough to get by, so what? You know, whenever there's discoveries made, scientific discoveries, things of those, what we call breakthroughs, scientific inventions, medicine or technology or whatever, it's because somebody was confident in what they were doing and they stayed persistent even though they failed at it many times. They were willing to go a little bit farther than what somebody else was. And a lot of times we look and see, well, somebody else failed at that, so we don't do that. But you see, maybe God is calling you to do that, because if you rise to this level of faith that will have power and demonstration, you can go beyond what they failed and succeed. We don't just stop doing something, in other words, because our faith got lazy and we decided, well, it's not going to work. Because if God says it's going to work, remember, he said, have faith in God. And Jesus taught that, if you remember. He taught that right after he spoke and he cursed that fig tree, and that fig tree withered up. And the disciples heard him say that. And they walked by the next day and they said, oh my goodness, the fig tree is dried up. And Jesus immediately says, have faith in God. What you saw was a demonstration of faith, but have faith in God, because that's nothing. God wants to take you to another dimension where your faith will be higher and advanced more than it's ever been. Mm-hmm. Now, that's pretty good stuff. I mean, these are things that the message that God is giving me to give to you has got to go beyond the wisdom of man. He said that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, there's a place here I want you to look at right quick in Mark chapter 2. Boldness and confidence, assurance and courage. Praise God. Hallelujah. We got to keep going beyond. How many know what it means to go beyond? You got to go beyond your previous failures. You got to go beyond what you used to do. You got to go beyond where you stumbled before. When you got back up, don't stumble in the same spot. You may only go another couple of steps, but you need to get up and get going again. We need some water walkers. We got to do things that we've never seen done before. Now, when Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, how many know that was something? Peter never saw anybody walk on water before. No human being. Are you with me? So don't ever think that when God is calling you to a dimension of faith that you're going to be able to pattern it after what some man or what somebody's already done. Y'all are not listening to this. There's a power to be demonstrated, but there's also a dimension that takes us to the level where we do something that we haven't done before. We're going further than we've ever been before. We're advancing. We're progressing. We rate higher. We rank higher. We put more premium on the word that comes at us. We come in here, you know, like a sponge ready to absorb what the Spirit of God is speaking to us. We come in here, you know, if you will, really like a word leech. We're sucking. We're trying to suck what the life that God has put in, whether it be me or whoever's in this pulpit, teaching you the Word of God. Because it's building our faith. That Romans 10:17, faith is coming. Amen. Faith is coming. But the Spirit of God said this. Now look at Mark chapter 2. Let me look at this because we're out of time here just about. Oh, hallelujah. Let me just make this statement. We have taught the ABCs of faith for a long time. But God is saying it's time to teach the DEF, HIJ, KLMNOP, QRSTV, WXYZ. We've been teaching ABCs a long time. Amen. How many are ready to advance? All right. Well, immediately, now look at this. I believe God is ready to take us beyond what we've done. I believe God wants to take you beyond what you've done. Now, here's, let me just read this to you, kind of wrapping this portion of it up. Here's something here. In verse 2, it's talking about these four men. Now, I'm sure you've read this story before, but I want you to see it in a demonstration mode and the confident mode, the assurance mode, okay? He said, immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to him. Now, get the picture. Jesus is having a meeting. He's preaching in this home or in this meeting room, and it's packed. It's so packed out. People are so hungry to hear what Jesus had to say. I didn't clear my throat. I was just telling you. People were so hungry to hear the word of God that the place was packed out and nobody, they were like sardines. They couldn't get in. There was no room left whatsoever. There was not even any standing room left. It was looking like a very difficult, if not impossible, situation because they had a buddy. They had a friend that was paralyzed and he needed to be healed, and they had faith that they believed that Jesus could heal him. See, you gotta come like you believe the Word of God. You might not need a physical healing tonight, but you might need some other healing. You might need to get free of some tormentors. You might need to receive some power to go back and pray over your children and break things that are destroying their lives. See, there's things that you need that other people may not need what you need, but they need something else because we all need something from God. Every time we come in here, we're not just in a religious, you know, we're not just in a walkthrough here. We're not just in a, you know, oh, it's Wednesday night. We go to church. We're Christians. We're going to sing. We're going to praise God. We're going to listen. No, we're here to inquire of the Lord.
Amen.
And so this is kind of the setup here. They came to him in verse 3, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And they could not come near. Say they could not. They couldn't even get near Jesus because of the crowd. Now look what they did. They uncovered the roof where he was. So obviously they had to get this guy up on top of the roof of that building. They couldn't get in through the front door. They couldn't get in through the back door. They couldn't peek in through the window. All they know is they had a friend, and that friend needed what Jesus had. It looked like they couldn't make it. And Jesus, what does he say in verse 5? And Jesus what? Jesus saw their faith. That is a faith demonstration. That is a faith demonstration. They were demonstrating that they believed that if they could get their friend to Jesus, that Jesus could heal them. So we have a demonstration of faith. And Jesus said something to them that just blew them away. He said to the paralytic, he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And of course, you know, that blows them away. Their minds are going every which direction. And Jesus rebukes them for, you know, reasoning in their natural mind about the things of God. But come all the way down to verse 12. It says, immediately, Jesus told him up in verse 11, he says, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." In other words, they got him down in to where Jesus was teaching the word of God. And he told him to rise, take up your bed, and go in your house. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, now look at this, "We never saw anything like this." Now we have another dimension. Remember, demonstration and dimension. They had never seen this. See, God is saying, "I have things that you have not seen. I'm taking you to places that you have not been." Are you with me? Just like when he called Noah. Think about it. Think about it. He called Noah to build the ark, and it had never rained before. Can you imagine what all the neighbors were saying to Noah? "You're building a what? For what? You got to be kidding, Noah." But you see, he believed God. I could take you to the scripture where God called Abraham. There was a demonstration of Abraham's faith because he got up and did what God said. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. And then verse 4 says, "And he went." See, you got to make sure you're hearing God. But when he says go, you go. Some people have trouble distinguishing between go and woe. Some Christians carry their feelings on their sleeves. Since when? And you might want to write this down. Faith never, never, never will work as long as you're going by your feelings. That's why you've got to have assistance. Now, I say that to you because sometime God is going to say go, and sometimes God is going to say no. Sometimes, see, people have, some people don't want to talk to God because God doesn't beat around the bush. God will tell you to shut up and sit down. Be still and know that I'm God. "Well, why did he talk to me like that?" You remember? We don't have time to go there, but there was a lady from Canaan, Syrophoenician woman, that came to Jesus, and she wanted deliverance for her daughter, for her child that was possessed by a demon. And she cried out to Jesus. She said, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And you know what the next verse said?
Jesus didn't answer her a word. Didn't answer her a word. But she kept pushing. She kept pushing. And then Jesus called her a dog. But she kept pushing. She was looking for a demonstration. Jesus said, "Oh, I haven't seen such great faith." And in the dimension, in the demonstration, she got a dimension of faith. Are you with me? I mean, we have to see that God will take us farther than where we are now. And God wants to use you. He wants to use you. But you can't be a person that just uses raw faith and not have these assistants to work in the power of God. You're not going to do it in your own strength. You're not going to do it in your own having just confidence in yourself. Some people don't even have any confidence in themselves. But you got to get past the confidence in yourself of having confidence in God. Amen. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." He began it and He'll finish it. He is the architect of it. He's the one that can build it on a solid foundation. Hello. And He can finish it. So don't stop in the middle of the road. Make your confession like Paul said. I'm quitting, but listen. Paul said, "I have run my race. I have fought a good fight. I've finished the course." What happens is that our faith trials is really not our faith failing. It's the things that we're using faith for that are not faith. And those things have to be eradicated so that faith can be pure and faith can work. We don't like being in the pot. Hello, it gets hot in there. Being stirred around, you know. Fee, fi, fo, fum. Are you here? So, let your faith advance in the power of God. Amen. And believe God for a manifestation, demonstration. When we teach these things, we make these confessions. Would you stand up with me on your feet? I'm overdue. Are y'all okay? Did you get something? I mean, there's just so much here. There's so many things here that I could share with you. But faith has a destination.